Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today you'll be listening to Sean Reed, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Sean.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. The stairs to the basement here in the parsonage and I have, well, we've just not gotten along very well over the past 3.5 years that my family and I have lived here in the church parsonage. It all started just a couple months after we had moved in. My wife had made one evening a big delicious pot of lentil soup, and after it had cooled, she asked me to carry it downstairs to place it in the basement refrigerator. Well, all went well for the first 2, 3, maybe even 4 or 5 steps going down the stairs, and then it happened. I somehow slipped. The soup went flying up in the air. I landed on the stairs, bam, 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 bounced down a few steps, and then the soup came down on top of me. I was covered, the stairs were covered, the walls were covered, and I spent the rest of the evening and most of the next day scrubbing walls and shampooing carpet, trying to get all of those lentils out of the parsonage stairs. Well, if that had been my only adverse encounter with the stairs to the basement, I could handle it. But, oh, maybe a year or two later, most of my family was fairly significantly ill, Linda and both of the kids, and so I was sleeping on the couch in the living room, trying to give Linda a little extra opportunity for quality sleep as she was trying to recover, and also wanting to be somewhere where I could quickly respond to any needs that might arise in the night. Well, it happened. About halfway through the night, a little voice called for some assistance. Wanting to quickly get down to my child's room before my wife was woken up, I jumped up off the couch and went dashing down the hallway, well, what I thought was the hallway, to my kid's bedroom. But inadvertently, I had taken a left just a few feet too soon. And instead of charging down the hall, I went flying down, you guessed it, the stairs to the basement. It wasn't a pleasant experience. Needless to say, my wife did get woken up. You know, when you're navigating a crisis or a challenge, it helps to be wide awake. It helps to be wide awake even when you're navigating through your own house. And right now, we are navigating through a challenge. We're worried. We're washing our hands more frequently than we ever have before. We're staying in rather than going out. We're practicing social distancing, trying not to touch our faces. And we're not just worried for ourselves, we're concerned for that family member who's a healthcare professional or works in a retail environment, or the neighbor who has an underlying health condition or because of age is more susceptible to the virus. We're concerned about our families, about our communities, about our country. We're concerned about our world. As believers, where do we turn when we face a challenge? Where do we turn when we face a crisis? In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus reminds us, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Whatever challenge we face, whatever crisis we come upon, we know we can have assurance and freedom from anxiety and fear in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul speaks about the way that we should live in light of Jesus' soon return. That's right. Jesus is coming back again soon. Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. The Apostle Paul shares with us the condition, the spiritual condition that we should be in light of the times in which we live. Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 11, "Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts." In light of the times in which we live, as we navigate through a challenge, as we encounter a crisis, the Apostle Paul challenges us to be wide awake. What does it mean to be spiritually wide awake? Paul gives us some hints right here in this passage. He exhorts us in verse 11 to awaken from our sleep because salvation is nearer than when we believed. And then in verse 12, he exhorts us to lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Being spiritually awake means being prepared for battle, prepared for spiritual battle. It means being in a state of alertness and awareness of potential spiritual dangers. Oftentimes, we are lulled into a sense of complacency. Revelation chapter 3 speaks about the church of Laodicea, who thinks everything is fine, believes they're spiritually prepared, and yet, well, they're not. Being spiritually awake means we're prepared for battle, and we're alert to the spiritual dangers around us. But there's more to it than just preparedness for battle and alertness to spiritual dangers. Notice what Paul mentions for us in verse 14. He says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ." Being spiritually awake means being intentionally and continually connected to Jesus Christ. After all, we're encouraged in Scripture to pray without ceasing, to always maintain a connectedness to our Savior in heaven. These are times in which we need to be wide awake. We need to be aroused from our spiritual slumber. We need to get up and be prepared for battle, to be alert to potential spiritual dangers, to be intentionally and continually connected to Jesus Christ. And why should we be spiritually awake? Because we know the time in which we live. I've been asked, "Pastor, is this COVID-19 pandemic, is this the proof that the end time is here? Is this one of the seven last plagues? Is this an event that's going to usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ?" Well, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we are alert and in tune to end time Bible prophecies. We study the books of Daniel and Revelation that contain those great apocalyptic prophecies that point us to the soon return of Jesus Christ. No, COVID-19 is not definitive proof that we live in the end times, but it does remind us that we need to be connected to Jesus. And the startling suddenness of this pandemic and the rapid response that has completely changed our lives, at least for the time being, does open our eyes to how quickly life can change, how quickly society can change in response to a perceived or real, in this case, danger. We look in the Bible, and we know that we're getting close to the soon return of Jesus Christ. We know that because we study prophecies such as the one in Daniel chapter 8, the 2300 days, and we see from 457 BC to 1844 AD, we see that great time prophecy bringing us to the end of time. We look in Revelation chapter 12, and we see the prophecy of the 1,260 days, or the 42 months, or the time times and half a time. And we see that period of the Dark Ages that concluded in around 1798 as God's faithful people were severely persecuted And that points us to the time of the end. We know that we're living in the final hours of Earth's history. We know that Jesus is coming soon. And that's why we should be awake. We should be awake, spiritually alert, ready for battle, intentionally and continually connected to Jesus, because these are serious times in which we live, and we know Jesus is coming soon. The Bible has a lot to say about the soon return of Jesus. The exhortation in Romans chapter 13 to be wide awake reminds us of the parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 25. That's the story of the 10 virgins who were going to be part of the wedding party. And yet the bridegroom was delayed, and so these 10 young ladies ended up falling asleep. When they woke up, they were awakened by the call, "The bridegroom is approaching, get ready to meet him." And 5 of them were unprepared. 5 of them were prepared and able to join the wedding party. And so we recognize that we need to wake up as we get close to the second coming of Jesus. There is a call going out to the world. Jesus is coming soon. Be ready to meet him. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus outlines for us events happening in the secular world and also in the spiritual world that let us know that Jesus must be returning soon. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, that is to the disciples who were questioning him about the end of time, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for these things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs." As we look at the world around us and we see society seeming to crumble, as we see a world in turmoil, we recognize that we must be getting close to Jesus' return. But events in the secular world are not signs or definitive proof of the nearness of Jesus' return. What we see there is an increased frequency letting us know we're getting closer and closer. Just as Jesus said, it's like birth pangs that are closer and closer together as the birth is more and more imminent. So we have to look somewhere else for the definitive proof that we're right there before the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus then turns our attention, beginning in verse 9 of Matthew 24, to what's happening in the spiritual world. "Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come." What's the definitive mark, the definitive sign of the return of Jesus? It's the gospel being preached in all the world. It's the call that is going out around the world saying, Jesus is coming soon. It's time to wake up. It's time to be prepared for battle, to be spiritually alert to dangers, to be intentionally and continually connected to Jesus Christ. That's the call. That is the voice of Jesus, that is inviting us to wake up. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus invites us to come to him. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." It's the invitation of Jesus that wakes us up. more than the events in the world around us. They get our attention. Yes, they do. But it's the voice of Jesus saying, "Behold, I am coming quickly." It's the voice of Jesus that awakes us from our slumber. Just as at the second coming, it's the voice of Jesus, the archangel, proclaiming at the trumpet of God, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 reminds us. It's the voice of Jesus that wakes up the dead. And it's the voice of Jesus that wakes up the spiritually dead. In Revelation chapter 3, in the message to the church of Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, Jesus speaks to each one of us. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me." You see, it's Jesus knocking at the door of your heart. It's Jesus calling you by name, saying, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I can give you rest. I can give you peace. I can give you freedom from worry and anxiety." It's that voice that wakes us up. We know the time in which we live. We know that we're getting close to the soon return of Jesus Christ. And because of the time in which we live, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 13 challenges us to be wide awake. "Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts." Aren't you looking forward to Jesus' soon return? Because we know the time in which we live, let's wake up. The call is going out all around the world. Jesus is coming soon. We need to be spiritually wide awake. As we navigate the challenges and the crises of the time in which we live, it helps to be wide awake spiritually. Being spiritually awake means that we are prepared for battle. We've put on the armor of light. Being spiritually awake means that we are connected, intentionally and continually connected to Jesus Christ. Being spiritually awake means that we are prepared to engage in spiritual warfare. Today, Jesus is inviting each one of us to be wide awake, to live a life that's different because we're not stumbling through in an unintentional and purposeless manner through life, but we have a purpose, we have a meaning, we have a mission, we have a call. Where not only are we listening to the voice that's saying, "Jesus is coming soon," we join in that chorus. We add our voices, we raise our voices to share with those around us, "Lift up the trumpet, loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again." You and I have an opportunity this very month to help proclaim that good news in our community. It's a little challenging in this time to go knock on someone's door and offer them Bible studies. We can't hold an evangelistic series at the church and invite people to come and join us as we open our Bibles together and study what God's message for this end time is. But there's something we can do. Beginning later this month, It Is Written with Pastor John Bradshaw, we'll be hosting a virtual online evangelistic series.
Hi, thanks so much for giving me the opportunity to say hello. I'm John Bradshaw from It Is Written. I want to share a thought with you as I tell you about an amazing ministry opportunity. You know, last year in just one country, South Africa, 600 rhinoceroses were killed by poachers. 600, that's one every 14 hours. In 2007, only 13. The numbers, hard to believe, are actually starting to come down slowly because in 2014, 1,215 rhinoceroses were poached. It's amazing. These majestic creatures being slaughtered. Why? For their horns. Rhino horn is worth more than gold. It's worth more than cocaine. $60,000 a pound, because there are some people who believe it contains mystical, strange healing properties, when of course it absolutely does not, but it's hard to convince those people of that. Soon there won't be any wildlife left to traffic, because they say wildlife trafficking is worth as much as $23 billion a year globally. If it keeps up, there won't be anything left. Some of these wonderful creatures that used to roam the range are now endangered, and others are on the very brink of endangerment or extinction. It's a tragedy, but you know something? Human beings are an endangered species. And right now, from sea to shining sea and around the world, people are starting to feel like that. People are panicking in many cases. A lot of people are really scared. And you can hardly blame them, because this COVID-19 outbreak is not something we can measure. It's unprecedented. And what it does is it presents to us a fantastic ministry opportunity. Let me turn that a little bit. When I say to us, I mean me and you. It presents to you an amazing ministry opportunity. Churches are closed, but we can minister. Churches are closed, but we have the opportunity to do evangelism like never before. Let me tell you about a truly historic opportunity. How would you like to conduct an evangelistic series in your community when you know that not one person is going to go out to a restaurant? No one's going to be going to a live sporting event. No one can even watch live sport on TV. How would you like it if no one would go out to a movie during your evangelistic series? If there was no school events, no after-school events, what if in many or even most cases, people weren't able to get to work? Those are the major distractions from evangelistic meetings, and now they're all gone. But evangelism isn't gone. April 17, it is written, we were going to begin an evangelistic series, in fact, a number of series involving multiple churches in and around Indianapolis, Indiana. You know what happened to that? The series was not canceled. It just morphed into what God wanted all along. We're still going to be in Indianapolis, Indiana. But we're going to be in your town too. Revelation Today, Hope Awakens is an online virtual evangelistic series. Now, don't get that word virtual wrong. It's a real evangelistic series. It's simply happening online. We're going to have dozens, in fact, I think hundreds of trained online Bible workers who will connect with people who are going to join this online. We're advertising online right now. The ads have started today. And if you would like to get on board with us, we can advertise in your community too. There's a special platform where people are going to connect. The programs, the presentations will also be on It Is Written TV, It Is Written's online channel. How's it going to work? It'll be a little bit different because I'll be speaking to a camera, not a great big crowd. But what a great opportunity. I'll be bringing in guests who'll join us virtually to speak about hot button issues that people are dealing with. And yes, it will be a Bible teaching seminar. It'll be an evangelistic series. Done online with an audience that is going to join us from all kinds of backgrounds and persuasions. I hate to throw out numbers, I really do, but the folks we're working with tell us that we can expect to have thousands of people join us. Once I start to say how many thousands, it might sound a bit absurd, but thousands. We have the opportunity for a vast audience. They're not doing anything else, and we'll connect with people as they join the meeting. We'll connect with them after the meeting. We'll have the opportunity to chat with them. Folks will be able to fill out decision cards. People will be able to ask questions. This is going to be fantastic, unprecedented. We've never, ever had an opportunity like that. And I really want you to be part of it. I hope you'll join us. Revelation Today, Hope Awakens. So if it seems to you like, wow, this is a hurried thing, it is. We were going to be opening live in an auditorium in Indianapolis. We're not doing that now. We're going to be opening live in front of a camera now in Indianapolis and every other Apolis from sea to shining sea. We've got people north of the border wanting to join us. In Europe, churches, conferences are saying, how do we get to participate? So this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful event. April 17, Revelation Today, Hope Awakens. 60 minutes from start to finish, and it's going to be a great blessing. Love for you to join us. We'll be blessed. Please pray for this. Join us, please, for Revelation Today, Hope Awakens, starting April 17. And thanks so much for what you're doing to minister to people in your context, in your community. Thank God, God is with you. God bless you.
I believe God will use this series to awaken hope within our community. Our church here in Holland, the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church, has partnered with It Is Written. Beginning this coming week, there will be online advertising letting our friends and neighbors and family members in this area know about Hope Awakens. I hope you will respond and choose to join this series as well, and share with your neighbors and friends and whoever else you know. Post it on Facebook, tweet about it, put a post on Instagram, whatever it is that you can do to let people know. There'll be information posted on our church website as well as in the next issue of the Church Update email. We know what time it is. And as we face challenges and crises, as we navigate through the time in which we live, it helps to be wide awake spiritually. Being wide awake spiritually means that we are prepared for battle. We are alert to spiritual dangers. We are intentionally and continually connected with Jesus Christ. And you know, when we're connected with Jesus, we happen to care about other people. Some decades ago, a story is told of a man who was living in Houston, Texas. He'd been the president of a large corporation, and yet he'd contracted cancer. And with his health diagnosis looking fairly grim, the board of directors had, well, they'd laid him off. He lost his health insurance, and he ended up using almost his entire fortune paying for cancer treatments. But the cancer was terminal, and despite the best efforts of the medical teams there in Houston, there was nothing they could do to save this man's life. As you can imagine, he was angry and bitter about the way he'd been treated by his company and about his lot in life. Things just were not working out the way he'd envisioned. There was a local pastor and a deacon from a nearby church who heard about this man's troubles, and they knocked on his door one afternoon. He invited them in, and they asked him how he was doing, and he told them about just how challenging life was right now. After a few minutes, the deacon said, "You know, you've shared with us what life is like now. Have you given any thought to life eternal?" At that, the man just exploded. He began cursing at the pastor and the deacon. He said, "What is it about you Christians? All you care about is life eternal. If your God really loved me, why doesn't he do something now? My house is going to be foreclosed on. When I die, my wife and daughter will have nothing to live on. My daughter is supposed to go to college next year, and now she won't be able to go to the college of her dreams. You tell me, why is God not doing something to help my family right now?" Then he kicked them out, right out of his house, the pastor and deacon both. A few days later, the deacon called the pastor and said, "We got to go back and visit him." The pastor wasn't too sure, but the deacon talked him into it. And so that's what they did. They showed up again at this man's door, knocked on the door, and he begrudgingly allowed them to come back in. The deacon immediately apologized. He said, "Last time we were here, what we said deeply offended you. I'm sorry that our words offended you. Our intention was not to offend, but to express care and concern for you. Now, sir, I want you to know," the deacon continued, "what I've been doing the past 3 days. I found a realtor in our church. He's agreed to sell your house, and he'll give his commission to your wife. And then some of the other families in the church and I have talked, and we have decided that starting now and until your house is sold, we will make your mortgage payments for you. And then, once you die, we know your family will need a place to live and when the house is sold. And so I've made arrangements with the owner of an apartment complex just down the road. He's going to give your wife, allow your wife to live in a 3-bedroom apartment rent-free. In fact, he'll pay her $850 a month to tend to some minor tasks around the apartment complex. And then we've talked to a financial planner in our church, and he looks at what we anticipate your house will sell for, and with some conservative investments, you can be confident to know that there'll be enough money for your daughter to go to the college of her dreams and a little nest egg for your wife to live on. I want you to know, sir, that when you die, your family will be cared for." The man began to cry, to sob just like a baby. He couldn't believe that these men that just a few days before he'd kicked out of his house would be willing to do so much. People he had never met were willing to love his family so intentionally. I wish I could say that that story ended with the man with terminal cancer accepting Christ as his Savior. But as the story goes, he was so tormented by pain and regret that he never accepted Jesus as his Savior. But he experienced nonetheless God's love. He experienced God's love through God's people. Following his death, his wife and daughter remained connected with that church family. They accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, and their life was set on a new trajectory. You see, God's people were awake. They were spiritually alert, and they took advantage of an opportunity to share Christ's love in a practical way with someone else. When you and I are spiritually awake, as we're looking forward to the soon return of Jesus, we'll be spiritually alert, we'll be prepared for battle, we'll be intentionally and continually connected to Jesus. We'll be men and women, boys and girls, who love others. And during times of uncertainty, we'll look for ways that we can serve and minister to those around us. Yes, we have to be careful. Yes, we have to be cautious. Yes, we have to take appropriate precautions. But we won't allow circumstances to prevent us from serving and sharing Christ's love. When you're navigating a crisis, when you're confronting a challenge, it helps to be wide awake. Jesus is coming soon. Let's wake up. Let's be spiritually alert. Let's be prepared for spiritual warfare. And let's be intentionally and continually connected to Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming soon. Dear Heavenly Father, these are challenging times, and each one of us has concerns that weigh heavy on our hearts. Thank you. Thank you for your call to be spiritually wide awake, because Jesus is coming soon. I pray, Lord, that each one of us would hear your voice individually calling us, encouraging us to wake up and be spiritually alert. And as we are awake, with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, may you, through us, share your love with others. May you, through us, bring confidence and hope to those who are weary, encouragement to those who are fearful, strength to those who are weak. May you use us to bless others. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to Sean Reed, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find his church at 11279 Ogden Street, Holland, Michigan, and their church services begin at 10:50 a.m. Access their website at holland22.adventistchurchconnect.org. And the telephone number is 616-355-2877. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.